I'm David Gilmour of Pink Floyd.
And Neil Sean of Journey.
Hi, this is Alex Lifeson.
And Geddy Lee from Rush.
Hi, this is David Coverdale from Whitesnake.
Hi, this is Mick Jagger.
And this is Keith Richards.
Hi, this is Klaus Meiner.
Hi, this is Wolf Schenker from the Scorpions.
Hey, this is Tommy Shaw from Styx.
Hey, man, it's Lars from Metallica. You're hanging out listening to K-Bear 101.
Hey, because I follow the rules, I want to welcome Chuck Norris into our studio right now. An absolute pleasure, and I feel privileged to have you here. Chuck Norris with his beautiful wife, Gina, live in the studio today. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
Woohoo!
How did you guys, first of all, we talked about a little bit earlier today, but you're going to be on an episode of the Diesel Brothers tonight. Mm-hmm. How did you get hooked up with those guys?
Well, they called me and said, you know, we'd like to build a Norris truck, Truck Norris. And we know that your name is trademarked, so we know that we can't do it without your permission. And I was a fan of Diesel Brothers' show. And I said, well, if I go on the show and I get to ride in a monster truck, and if I approve the Norris truck, I said, then I'll let you do it.
Well, did they let you pick out the truck? Because I noticed when I was watching that they kind of pushed you into the truck they wanted. Because you liked that one.
They were trying to.
Yeah.
Now, I heard it differently, and you tell me if I'm right, but when they brought you to look at the trucks, they actually just... It was just a bunch of parts, and you just looked at the parts, and it made itself.
Exactly. Yeah. How do you know that?
I don't know.
Man, I don't tell anybody that.
You're giving away the episode.
and this episode will be on tonight. It's on, is it?
On the
Discovery Channel. That's right. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to say the wrong one. And then something else was brought to my attention. I've got a water here called Seaforce Water, and it says by Chuck Norris. Mm-hmm. You found water and decided to bottle it. What happened?
Well, we discovered water on our ranch in Texas, and it was 23,000-year-old water from the last ice age.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife says, and it's, you know, one some of the purest water that our hydrogeologist said he could ever seen. And so my wife, this is her project. Mm-hmm. She says, I'm starting a water company.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
He's fibbing. Really, when Chuck Norris stares at the ground, the water surrenders.
See?
you don't need drillers.
It just started bubbling.
Exactly. No, we're really excited about this water. It's available in Maverick convenience stores, and Maverick is the sponsor behind this Truck Norris build-out, and so we're pretty excited about this opportunity to have water here in Utah. We're in a few places in Texas, so really you guys are ahead of us.
Awesome.
Which is pretty cool, but we're excited about this episode tonight.
I
have to tell you about Red Beard. Red Beard is an undefeated MMA fighter.
Yeah.
And
Are you going to tell us?
We do a little exchange in this episode tonight.
Okay.
So you'll see Redbeard and I do a little exchange.
Awesome. You were telling us that the first time you were in Salt Lake, you came to compete, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time I was in Salt Lake City was 1964, and it was the first karate tournament I entered. And I brought three of my students all the way to Salt Lake City. We drove for 16 hours to get here.
Yeah.
And so we all fought. And my three students won, took first place, and I lost.
Oh!
So I drove home while they held the trophy.
Well, if I read correctly, you lost the first like three or four matches you had, but then you became the world middleweight champion for, I think, 10 years you held that.
Yeah.
Wow, incredible. And you had the opportunity to not only meet and be in a movie with Bruce Lee, but to actually become friends with him.
Yeah, I met Bruce in 1968 when I fought for the world title in New York at Madison Square Garden. And after I won the title, Bruce and the promoter introduced Bruce and I, and so we decided to work out together in L.A. when we got back, and we did for a couple of years, and then he left for Hong Kong to pursue his movie career, and I didn't hear anything from him. But then out of the blue, he calls me. He says, "I've done two movies and they're very successful. I want to do a movie now with a fight scene that everyone will remember, and I want to do it in the Colosseum in Rome." And I want you to be my opponent.
Wow.
And
how
so
cool
as
is
I
that?
Told you, and so I kiddingly I said, well, Bruce, who wins this fight?
Yeah.
He says, I win. I'm the star of this thing. And I held the world title at that time. And I said, oh, I see. You want to beat up the world champion. He said, I want to kill the world champion. Which he did. He broke my neck.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
Was it hard to fight with cameras rolling and to almost pretend fight a little bit? Was that difficult at all, or was it fun?
No, because you're going pretty strong.
Yeah.
You know, when you're fighting guys like Bruce and a lot of the guys I fought, you know, you're going pretty heavy. You're going pretty heavy duty.
Yeah. Who else was in that? Was Ken Norton in that, or who was the
Bob Wall?
Okay.
Bob Wall was one of my black belts.
Gotcha.
And he was with me, and so he got a part in the movie.
I just remember the part where they grabbed his chest hairs and ripped him out. And I'm
yeah.
just like, oh.
Was that real?
No. People say, did he really pull the hair out of I said, if he had done that, there would have been a real fight.
Oh man!
You were in the Air Force in South Korea. While you were there, did you even have the slightest idea what your life was going to be like? Did you plan anything, or did it just all start happening?
No, my whole goal. I got in the military police in the Air Force with my goal of being a police officer when I got out. And so when I got to Korea, I thought, well, maybe I'll train in judo because I didn't know what karate was. And so I started training in judo, and then. About 10 days in my training, I broke my shoulder. Mm-hmm. So here I thought, oh, man. You know, so I'm out in the village sightseeing, Osan Village, Osan, Korea. And I look up on the knoll, and I see these heads keep popping up. And I go, what the heck is going on up there? So I walk up on the knoll, and I look down, and these Koreans are doing these spinning heel kicks and all this stuff here. And I thought, holy mackerel. I didn't think the human body could do something like that. And so I went back to the base and asked my judo instructor what it was. So he told me, you know, it was called Tongsudo then, now it's Taekwondo. And I said, I'd sure like to take that. So he took me out and introduced me to Master Lee and Master Shin. And I started training with my one arm. And then once my arm healed, then I trained in Taekwondo Monday through Saturday for 5 hours a day. And then on Sundays, I'd train for 4 hours in judo. So when I left, I
was wow.
black belt and taekwondo in and a brown service. Belt in judo.
And,
wow.
and you still did the military police yeah. on the
yeah.
side?
Yeah.
On the side.
On the side. Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's amazing that you saw those heads popping and yeah. it inspired you.
Yeah.
We saw the movie and you inspired us.
Aw.
You know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
You did to thousands and thousands of young people out there yeah. what those guys did for you. And it was like, after we saw The Way of the Dragon, we all were wanting to take judo, taekwondo, karate, kung fu, whatever we could find, because we wanted to be you.
Well, you know, that's awesome. The interesting, you know, when Bruce and I, because we knew each other so well, that Bruce says, you know, let's just ad-lib this thing, you know, because we've worked out so much together that we know everybody, each other's moves. And so that's what we did. We just kind of winged it in there.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
Was the director cool with all that?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was the director.
Oh, okay.
He's like,
yeah.
He was the boss.
He's like,
me.
Follow me.
He was the boss.
And well, was Bruce Lee as, I guess, I don't know how to say it, but just as magical and amazing a fighter as he came across?
Well, he wasn't a professional fighter.
Okay.
You know, but I think he would have done exceptionally well. He would have, if he would have gone that route like I did, mm-hmm. he would probably been a world champion. But that wasn't the route he wanted. He wanted to get into movies.
Gotcha.
And so that's what he did, and that's how he got his
reputation.
It's
interesting today. That's probably your number one asked question, is anything that's related to Bruce
Lee. Yeah, it's interesting, huh?
Yeah, it has been ever since the 70s when I first jumped into the film business in 76. That's been probably the most prevalent.
So did he inspire you to do the movies, or was that something?
Steve McQueen did.
Really?
Yeah, Steve McQueen.
He's not a bad guy to inspire someone either, though.
Well, it's interesting. He was one of my private students. And so when I retired as the world champion, he says, well, what are you going to do now that you're not fighting anymore? And I said, well, probably just teach. Mm. He said, well, have you ever thought about acting? And I start laughing. I said, Steve, I've never even done a high school play. So what makes you think I could be an actor? You know, he said, I don't know. He says, only the camera can really determine that. He said, but I would encourage you to give it a try. So anyway, I thought, well, let me check into it. So I check into it. Well, I have no money in those days, and lessons are expensive.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I finally found an acting school to go on my GI Bill. That's how I took
awesome,
lessons.
Awesome, really.
On my GI Bill.
Wow. Well, we're glad you found that school.
And yeah. then I go to my first, what they call cattle call.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 100 guys showing up for the same part.
Did they all look like you?
Huh?
A lot of them?
No, they, anyway, it's a lot of people I recognize, you know,
yeah.
well-known TV actors. And they're trying for the same part I am.
Yeah.
And I'm wanting to go up and get their autograph. I said, this isn't going to work, man. So I wound up writing my own screenplay. Yeah. It's called Good Guys Wear Black.
And that's how it started.
Wow. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is cool.
No kidding.
Every time I watch a Ultimate Fight now, I always wonder what you guys think of the new fighting that's going on in the octagon and stuff. You a fan of that or?
Well, yeah, because Hodeon Gracie, who started this,
yeah,
they had the first one in Denver, Colorado. Well, he wanted me to be his partner.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And so he called me up and said, you know, I'm going to do this fight in Denver, Colorado, because that's the only city that will allow it. And two guys go in, and anything goes. I says, wait a minute. Anything goes? He says, yeah, only one guy walks out. I said, Hodeon, someone's going to get killed.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't think I want to be part of something like that.
Before all the rules and
regulations.
I said,
but I will come to Denver and watch it. So I go up there, and I watch the fight, and as a judo guy gets another kung fu guy down on the ground, hooks his arm, and he starts elbowing this guy in the head.
Yeah.
The guy can't move. And I'm watching it, and now he keeps elbowing him, and now the guy's unconscious, but he just keeps on elbowing, and the referee's just standing there gazing.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm about ready to get up and
yeah.
the
yeah.
ring, and about that time the guy was doing the elbowing, kind of rolls the guy's head back and forth. Look, points up the referee and points at his head. And so he
he had to tell him.
We saw.
I think
Alex.
You should stop this fight. Yeah,
we saw that.
Was this UFC 1?
Huh?
Was this UFC 1 or was this before?
The very first one.
That was
first
okay.
Remember, we watched that video.
Yeah, we did watch that video.
We met Hoyce and Hickson. We happened to meet a guy that was from Brazil.
Yeah,
and
Pedro Sauer.
Pedro Sauer. And so he told us about this, and we went down to a copy place?
Yeah, it was the Kinko's, because we didn't have a video player.
So he comes up to our studio, tells us about it. We go to Kinko's, he plugs in the DVR, and we start watching that first fight. And I start getting that real weird feeling yeah. of somebody's going to die here. There's no rules. Wait, watching people in the balls.
I went to Rio in 1984 scuba diving. So I went around to all the martial arts schools and worked out with them. And everyone talked about Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, you know. And I trained with a guy named Gene LaBelle, who was very good at that, too. And I trained with him for a few years. And I thought, I got to find out, you know, track them down. So I finally get to their studio, and it's Hoyce and Hickson, who was the world champion, and Helio Gracie, the father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in, and I said, you know, do you mind if I work out with you? And they're very gracious, really nice people. So they okay. So I worked out with Hickson Gracie. It's like I never had a lesson in my life.
Yeah,
I mean, he just
wow.
played with me.
Wow.
And then I went. Then I worked out with Hoyce. And then Mr. Gracie, who's 72 years old, little tiny guy,
mm-hmm.
says, Chuck, you and I grapple. I said, okay. So, of course, I'm bigger and stronger, so I'm able to take him down, and I mount him. When I mount him, he says, okay, now punch me in the face. And I kind of laugh. I said, I'm not going to punch you in the face, Mr. Gracie. No, punch me in the face. So I just put my hand back. That's the last thing I remember.
Wow.
Man, I wake up, you know, and I can hardly swallow. And he's, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it so hard.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So you don't know what happened.
But anyway, I started training with the Machados, who are the cousins of them. And I'm now a third-degree black belt with them.
Wow. That's so impressive. I remember when I met Hickson, saying his name wrong, his fingers were like biceps. They were so huge and so powerful. When I shook his hand, he just kind of didn't put much pressure there because he could have broke me.
I know, they're very, you know, when you shake their hands, they do it very mildly.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, how incredible. What is the story behind that hand?
Oh, man. Do you see the fight he did with Zulu?
Yeah.
Man, isn't that incredible?
Yes.
Yeah, it's insane. It's absolutely amazing.
It's insane. Well, you know, when they came to L.A., you know, they put out a thing to all the martial artists to come and test them out. And they videotaped it. There's like 25 different martial artists there. And they, you know, they just played with them.
They just played with them.
Yeah. And then they put out a challenge. And one of my black belts, Ralph Alegria, says, I'm going to accept that challenge. I said, Ralph, don't do it. Believe me, he'll embarrass you. You'll be embarrassed. He said, no, because he was a kickboxer.
Sure.
Yeah.
And a good one. And I said, believe me, they know how to close the gap. You know, I've worked with them. I said, they know how to close the gap. I said, don't do it. He said, no, I'm going to do it. So he gets in there with Hodeon Gracie in the ring. And so Ralph does a kick to his leg and then a punch, which glances off his chin. And Hoyce grabs him.
Uh-oh.
And within a few seconds, he got Ralph on the ground. Then and he starts slapping Ralph in the face.
Oh, no.
Ralph rolls over. And then he goes, of course, then he goes for the choke.
Yeah.
And next thing you know,
he's tapping out.
I mean, that video went everywhere.
Yeah. You were at the very forefront of all of this, too, which is pretty cool. And not only were you there, but we got to watch it, you know, on the big screen. And it was cool. You know,
absolutely.
We were all big fans.
And now we're running out of time, but speaking of watching, so tonight is the episode of where you do the Truck Norris.
Right on the Diesel Brothers on the Discovery Channel.
Okay,
but the actual giveaway for the truck is going to happen in the fall, so there's still plenty of time for people to go into Maverick, buy a bottle of C-Force, or make a purchase and be able to have a chance to enter to win. So there's still plenty of time to be able to win that truck.
Perfect.
And buy our C-Force water.
Plus Gina's going to give away several cases of
going to probably give a whole bedload of C-Force water. So.
Yeah, you should. I was going to say we should do the Water Boy 2 and have him do this high quality H2O.
Believe me, he's my Water Boy.
He's the
right
Water
now.
Boy. that's awesome.
You guys are awesome.
Chuck, absolute pleasure to meet you.
You know,
we've interviewed a lot of people in the studio, and I have never seen a crowd of people like this.
That's such a compliment, guys.
Come to
so
see
much.
Chuck.
Well, I really appreciate you.
Yeah, you guys have been fantastic. Yeah.
And Gina, it's a pleasure to meet you as well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Get into Maverick. Check out the C-Force. It's really good. And watch the Diesel Brothers tonight. Let me go to my script here. Thanks visiting with us, Chuck. Grab a C-Force water from Maverick and tune into the Diesel Brothers on Discovery tonight. And check out the truck that Chuck was behind, was responsible for.
Yes, he is.
Well, I almost threw in the F word there. It was just so flowing.
Yeah, it was a rhyming word. Yeah, we rhyme a lot on this show.
It was real close. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back. Watch Diesel Brothers tonight. It's Mick and Allen on K-Bear 101.